Do you want to know the cheat code for getting an extra 50, 60% more deals every single month in your wholesaling business? Do you want to know the secret to doing an extra 3, 4, heck, even 5 deals every single month? Well, what I'm going to do today, me, Zach Ginn,
Rick Ginn,
we are going to share with you 6 untapped ways to get extra deals, money, and success in wholesaling real estate. These are going to be what I call the cheat codes. And if you have these little cheat codes, it's going to help the whole experience of wholesaling real estate go a lot easier and a lot smoother, so you can have wholesaling real estate success. So if you're excited for this one and you're excited to go actually out here and, you know, get more deals and make more money and heck, even scale up like crazy, do us a favor. Go out here and smash that like button. All right, guys, make sure you go out here and smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, comment below your questions, and we want to help you become the best wholesaler possible. So without further ado, let's get into it and let's break these 6 things down. But before we get it, you guys already know we got to cue the intro. We got to get you guys excited. So let's get it.
Let's do it. Woo!
Get the fuck out of bed, bitch. Go. Get up and get the guy go. Gotta wake up. Gotta wake up, bitch. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up.
Snap, we're ready to go. Shout out to Salvador. I just closed my first deal last week. Boom,
that's awesome.
It is,
man.
Happening, guys. We're excited. We're ready to go on this one. So there are 6 ways that you can be exploding your wholesaling real estate business, and we're excited to break it down. So this is day 22 of the 30-day wholesaling challenge. Mm-hmm. and we're going to help you out with these tips to help you get even closer to that first deal or your 100th deal. So the 6 untapped ways to make an extra 5 deals every single month. Let's get into it. Let's cut the fluff and let's break it all down. So first and foremost, number 1.
Focus on the right list. Listen, you can have the most amazing marketing vehicle to deliver your message. If you don't have the right list, you are wasting all your time. And I'm telling you, if you don't believe me, trust me on this one. You have to have the right list. So what you want to do is, in my opinion, you need to find the right list that's going to create the most motivation for a seller. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it is not MLS. It is most likely not on market properties. Not that you can't do it, but if you're trying to get a deal done, you're trying to create urgency, you have to find smoke. Wherever there's smoke, there's fire. So I need you to become a list ninja. And what we're going to do is go through the core list that you need to focus on. Here's a really cool part. This list really has not changed in like 20 years. And it's actually becoming more predominant now because so many people have fatigued like these technological advances that a lot of the old school lists work really well. So what I want to do is we'll go over in detail on the list. But guys, if you don't have a good quality list, you're wasting your time. And I want you to focus on off-market properties. That's the key to these lists. Great list, off-market properties is the perfect recipe to get a great wholesale deal.
I agree. Guys, if you want to make more money, more deals, or make more per deal, it's all about the right list, right? And you might be going out here and working your butt off, but if you're working your butt off on a list that every single wholesaler is doing, you ain't going to do well. Okay, let me give you one example. If you go out here and just do the regular high equity list off PropStream, everyone and their mom can get that list, okay? And everyone and their mom is pulling that list. And you're just going to be in guy number 12 calling the same seller. You got to get the niche. And so where they say the riches are in the niches, same exact thing in wholesaling real estate. So what are these type of lists, right? Number 1, always said this, and I sound like a broken record with it, but government lists. So lists you get from the government. Some are easier, some are harder. Remember, the harder it is to usually get the list, the better it is. So highly recommend it. We do mention listrei.com lists all the time too. These are lists that have the right filters with them too, right? So everyone likes just clicking high equity. The gurus tell you to do vacants, but there's specific filters inside these softwares that you need to be doing. For example, make sure they own it for at least 3 years. Make sure it's got the right amount of equity percentage. You also can stack lists on top of that. If you want to learn more, just go to freelisting.com or freelisting course. It's in there. And then really, what's another great list that no one's willing to do? These are what we call the earn lists. These are lists you actually have to earn. You can't buy a list. You can't go and just ask for it. You have to go earn it yourself. And these are lists that no software, no courthouse can ever give you. These are lists that are completely unique to yourself. And why does drawing for dollars work so well? Why do I always talk about it? You get in front of someone that has an ugly house and you ask them if they want to sell that house and nobody else can contact them or there's really no wholesalers contacting them. It's a recipe for amazingness. And also when you're drawing for dollars, put some headphones in, listen to whatever music you want. It's a lot more enjoyable than cold calling for hours and hours and hours a day. Guys, I used to cold call crazy, but 2 to 7 p.m. for an entire year straight, 5 days a week. Never stopped once. It's a lot of mental toughness with that, but drawing for dollars is way better. Reverse drawing for dollars. Guys, you already know the plan. Next tier. This is something we always talk about.
Like go for no.
Go for no.
And they're like, oh, Rick, that's not really a list. No. We're talking about how to get more deals in your pipeline. And I'm here to tell you, this one took me a while to learn and my 21 years experience has taught me in wholesaling. Listen, at the end of the day, your goal is to buy a deeply discounted property from a motivated seller. So if you try to buy a deeply discounted property from a non-motivated seller, you're literally wasting your time. That's what most of you guys are doing when you deal with MLS and you deal with ice cold realtors that have no idea what you're in this business about. So the go for no method is really simple. We teach it in detail at freewholesaling.com. Is instead of going for a yes on your MAO, which is your maximal allowable offer, let me give an example. The property is worth $200,000 ARV. That means that's its highest and best condition. And you guys are constantly trying to buy the property at like $160 or like $170 because your MAO is $175. And somebody taught you, you need to get a yes. I'm here to tell you, you need to reverse engineer wholesaling. You actually need to go for the no. Well, Rick, why do I want to know if I ultimately want a yes? Sometimes you got to get a no before you get a yes. And the reality is you're going to get a lot more no's than you're going to get yes. So I want you to build that resistance muscle to overcome when people reject you, because it's going to happen often and frequent in wholesaling. But if the property's worth 200 grand, instead of going in close to your MAO, like 5 grand under it, try this method. Mr. Seller, would you take $110,000 for it? And just shut your mouth. The thing is, you're trying to figure out what your seller is. You're trying to ESP. You're trying to get in your seller's head and you think they know what they're thinking. You have no idea. So by doing the go for no, number one, if it gets accepted, are you okay with it? Absolutely. You move forward. But the reality is the seller is going to make their decision on their own. You can't force them to do it. And you're most likely going to get a counter offer. Now, if you spent time and built rapport with them and had a great conversation with them, a lot of times they'll give you a knee-jerk reaction and go, hey, Rick, listen, I discussed it over with my sister. We can't take anything less than 150. Remember, you already had 175 in your head. So stop trying to guess what your seller is and just basically reverse engineer a counter offer on them. Once you have a counter offer, guess what? That's when negotiations start. Mm. So that's your worst case scenario. And then you can usually get it down a little bit more. But remember, the higher you chase the price, the higher the seller is going to want. So if the ARV is 200 and say you offered like crazy price of 185, they're going to say, no, I need 195. No matter what you do, it's going to keep going up. So flip it on its back, go for no. And honestly, you don't have to spend more than 10 minutes doing a comp, and you guys spend way too much time doing comps anyways, and see if the motivation's there for them to sell. And they go, Rick, I want to sell it. I can't sell it that slow. And they go, well, give me a number. So guys, going for the no is a strategical move that will save you a ton of time. And if you're new to this business, it will save you a lot of headache because you don't have to spend this enormous amount of time trying to get in your seller's head. Use the go for no method. It works really, really well.
Exactly. You get better deals by doing this. So the one thing I can recommend to everybody right here, make lower offers. But I don't want to make – it's uncomfortable to make a low – of course it's uncomfortable to make a lower offer.
That's the whole idea.
But guess what? You start making more money by doing it. And if it's going to scare you, make sure – I tell everyone, make sure the offer scares you. If the offer scares you, that's really good because that will actually lead you to making more money. The scarier the offer, usually the more money you're going to make. And this is the age-old question. But Zach, but they're going to kick me out. They're going to curse. They're going to scream at me. They're going to be upset. No. What if I told you there's a super secret method that when you give a lowball offer, even if it's $4, the seller won't even be mad at you at all. It's crazy. But it's like, it's nuts. Guess what it is? It's called the good cop, bad cop method. We teach it at fearlessly.com. It's my favorite lowball strategy. It's weird that we're still the only people on the internet in wholesaling to talk about this strategy. Gurus are going to steal it. They probably have their...
Why am I always the bad cop?
Because I'm the one talking. The bad cop is the one who's talking. And so we got to understand here is this is tactics taught in $40,000 programs that I give to you guys for free. I give the secret sauce. But here's the truth. When you talk to a motivated seller and you're like, would you take 40 grand for the property? You know it's worth 100. You imagine they're going to be upset at you. Mm-hmm. But they're not. You know why? Because you say, hey, I was talking to my partner, Rick, and he wanted to buy this thing for $40,000. Now, I didn't offer to this. I didn't give an offer out. Mm-hmm. I just spat out a price and see the reaction to it. The reaction is, no. Hey, Rick, he's crazy, right? But if he's like, okay, I could do that. I didn't even give an offer. That's just what he was at. I'm the one here. I'm the one making the decision. It's really amazing because you can kind of get in their mind of what – it's like mind reading. It's like, okay, doing telekinesis with the lowest they'll take, and you already know what the number is without even giving the offer. Good cop, bad cop's the best one out there. Number three here. This is understanding how to communicate and talk with your sellers. Guys, if you actually learn how to communicate and talk with sellers, you'll actually end up making more money. You'll do more deals, and it's an untapped potential. Most wholesalers are terrible at communicating with their sellers. First of all, they're nervous. And when you are nervous, you lack confidence. And again, what is confidence? Confidence is the belief of what you say and what your belief is in yourself and the action you are doing. That is all what confidence is. So if you're not confident when talking to a seller, that means you're not believing what you're saying. So if I say the words, I'm looking to buy your property for cash, you're probably not confident that you could actually buy the house for cash. So maybe you say, hey, me and my partner are looking to buy some houses for cash. You know you have a cash buyer who's already got the cash. You're going to have more belief. You're going to sound a lot more happier. You're going to sound a lot more straightforward to the point. And there's going to be less hesitation when you talk. That's the biggest difference between people that are confident or not confident. It's that little hesitation of, hey, my name is Zach, and I'm looking to buy your house for cash. Versus, hey, my name is Zach. I'm looking to buy your house for cash. Well, big difference. Mm-hmm. And what's the difference between someone who's super confident and not confident? It's the hesitations, and using ums and buts and filler words is a part of a hesitation. Now, I still do that, but it's a lot less than a newbie because I'm a lot more confident because I have more of a belief in myself when I'm talking to you guys. And belief doesn't mean you're like the craziest, richest person in the world when wholesaling, but it just makes you sound better with your communication. When you're more confident, you can build rapport better, and the more rapport you build, the better chance someone's willing to take a lowball offer, the more they can trust you, and heck, the more deals and money you'll make. So one thing you talk about a lot is the 80-20 rule, right?
Yeah, 80-20 rule. If you don't understand it, I'll just explain it. God gave you 2 ears and one mouth. You can't gain intel from a seller or even like a buyer or even outside of wholesaling unless you get quality information from them. Now, sometimes they volunteer it and sometimes you have to pull it out through qualifying questions. But if you let your seller talk 80% of the time and your 20% are directed qualifying questions or engage a great conversation rapport, you'll do much better. The reality is most wholesalers talk too much. And the more you talk, the more you tune your sellers out. And remember, the more your seller talks, the more you can quantify an offer actually going to address their concerns. So use the 80-20 rule, 2 ears, one mouth, the simplest way to learn it. And if you find you're talking too much, be aware of it, be conscious of it, and work on it and get better at it each time you do it.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time. Just talk 20% of the time. And the question is, what do I say for the 20%? Questions. That's what you say. The only way to get the seller to talk 80% of the time is by you asking questions for the 20%. If you talk about yourself, there's a lot of eyes in this conversation. It's going to be 50-50. Yeah. Have you ever talked to a person that likes talking forever and ever and ever? All you have to do is get them to keep talking, just ask some questions, and they'll rant it out, and it builds a rapport. So make sure you get really good at the art of asking questions. When I try to talk to a seller, build some rapport with them, think of F-O-R-D. It's called the Ford method. Family, occupation, recreation, dreams. Talk about their family. Talk about their occupation, what they do for a living, what they like doing for fun. R, recreation. D, dreams, what they want to do in the future. You do that, you got an MCTP, you're going to be fine, right? And then the next part, number four here, is if you actually want to make a lot more money, you just got to do what we call an upward spiral. Guys, everybody knows about the downward spiral. We've talked about everyone knows about the downward spiral journey where you lose your job and then you end up homeless on the streets, right? Like, you know, there's stuff in between that, right? You don't pay the rent, the water gets shut off, and all these bad things. And downward spirals are based off of only one thing, momentum.
Mm-hmm.
The momentum is going in a bad part. And if you keep that, if you just let that slide keep sliding down, guess what happens when you're on a steep hill? It just gets faster and faster down, which is you're going faster downhill. But not a lot of people understand with an upward spiral, it's not like a slide going down. It's more like a whirlpool sucking you up, which basically means it's like really the best thing about it when you're getting sucked up, basically with the atmosphere, it gets lighter, like a rocket. So the higher up in the spiral we go, the easier it is to even go up even higher. There's less atmosphere in the air. Think about you know, these little blimps right here, right? Like the higher up in the air, the easier it is to go up. And the truth with an upward spiral is the more you do one positive thing in wholesaling and you keep doing that one thing, more positive things will happen. So really, when I talk about an upward spiral, Zach, I want to do more money. I want more deals. I say, okay, let's do the upward spiral. The upward spiral doesn't talk about doing 30 things and getting the CRM and the logo. An upward spiral starts with one small thing, one little loop on the ladder to go up. And what is that loop? Marketing. Marketing is where wholesaling real estate starts. It's where it ends. It's where it's all about. So what is the upward spiral? The upward spiral is this. It's one, two, three, five, basically four or five things. You market more. And when you market more, so you talk to more sellers, you end up getting more leads. And when you get more leads, you end up writing up more contracts. And when you write up more contracts, that's more deals to give to your buyers. And the more deals you send to your buyers, the more deals you get. And the more deals you get, the more money you get. That's the point. So really, if you want to make this really simple, more marketing eventually leads to more deals. Same thing with the downward spiral. Less marketing, less deals. Guys, I make this business stupid simple. Maybe I just have a very simple mind, but like that's how this business runs. More marketing, more deals, less marketing, less deals. You talk to more buyers, it's easier to sell the deal. Less buyers, it's harder to sell the deal. That's how this business works. You complicate this, it ain't going to do well for you. But if you make this business stupid, stupid, stupid simple, and you start doing things that are actually going to give you a positive yield in your life, you'll do better. Number five here, right?
Yeah. I mean, build more high quality buyers. I mean, cash buyers. It's a lot of you being sold. Like, I don't want you guys to be glorified real estate agents. You want to do that, just go ahead and get your real estate license. There's business models being taught out here is where they teach you to just spam social media. And by the way, spam means you're pushing to pull everyone's information and providing no value. That's really the definition of spam. Well, I know that's not the technical, but that's it.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you just get blocked on 95% of the list and you just become in a sea. And the list that you do get through, so many other people spamming, you're lost in it. So when you guys go out and go, I got cash buyers in all 50 states, everybody knows what you're doing. You're wasting everyone's time. And when you guys do these text blasts or these email blasts to 500 or 5,000 buyers, it's ridiculous. And that's not how you're going to get ahead. If you just take the time, and you do have to take the time, either you, your staff, most likely you, call the cash buyers, vet them, qualify them, and keep a conversation alive with them. Like, guys, for the last 10 years, you didn't have to do this, and it's come home to roost. You actually have to get good information and build relationships from cash buyers, because you know what? They have options now. Don't be the guy who goes, I got cash buyers in all 50 states. Give me your deals. We get thousands of posts like that a day. It's a joke. It's saturated. You actually have to do quality. If you want quality, you got to take the time. You got to vet people, get a proof of funds. And then when you have a deal, you have a great shot of actually harvesting a profit on an assignment. Don't overlook this. If I thought it was easy as buying a giant piece of software and spend a fortune and I click a button and they're bought, it's going to help you with data. It is not going to sell your deal. You have to sell your deal. That's the bottom line. Understand that and you'll get the reality of how wholesaling works. But if you want to buy into all these people's software and all these franchises, everything can be done for you, you're going to wind up in a sea of frustration. Trust me. If I thought that would work, we would do it in our own business. You actually have to take the time to work with quality cash buyers.
Let's talk about this really quick. How do I do quality cash buyers? How do I sell my deals really well? Let me give you one secret. Okay. This is one secret this year that no other person on YouTube talks about, but this is one thing all the top wholesalers are doing so they can dominate right now that pretty much every beginner is not doing. Because every beginner watches YouTube videos from 2021 about wholesaling when cash buyers, you can treat them like snot and they'll still buy your deal, right?
No, you only need one.
You only need one. Here's the thing. Treat your cash buyers like your sellers, all right? And so I've talked about this a million times, but if you treat your cash buyers like trash, they will treat you like trash currently. Real estate wholesaling is dependent on the best thing in the world called the free market. Now, the free market, it ebbs and flows. It swings one way, it swings the other way. The past 3-4 years, it was really hard to find wholesaling deals, and then you could treat your buyers bad because they had a big demand to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Now things have switched. It's a lot easier to get deals, but to find a good buyer, it's a lot harder. Supply and demand has changed, right? The demand has gone down because, you know, buyers, every wholesaler has got deals now. And so it's like anything, you know, it's like toilet paper, right? There's a lot more buyers for toilet paper when everything's going crazy with it versus now. And so you got to find the toilet paper, you know, favorite people, right? But like, it's a free market. And so usually when you are doing a sales experience, and I know we don't talk about you being a salesman, but in real estate wholesaling, we sell contracts. We sell our equitable interest in a deal for a $10, $15, $20, heck, even a $50,000 assignment fee. That's wholesaling real estate for you, right? You might not like it, but that's the dang truth. You are selling contracts. And when you are selling something, it is in your best interest not to treat somebody like trash. Usually, if you're a car salesman, you sell more cars by being nice to people than being an absolute jerk to them.
Yeah,
this might be new information, but yeah. And so think about this. If I'm going to try it out here, and let's do the most cliche thing in the world, sell you this pen. I'm looking to sell this pen.
Okay, Jordan.
How would I sell this pen? Should I take a picture of it and go, okay, boom, took the picture of it and email 10,000 people and say, buy this pen, $5. Or would it be better for me to call these people individually, say, I have the best pen in the world. I will do anything to help you out with this.
It's a great pen.
Like, who's more likely to sell that pen? The guy that called or the person that sent 10,000 emails and said, I did everything I could. These buyers just can't buy anything. No, heck, if I go door knock on businesses and I'm so annoying, someone's just going to buy the pen from me, right?
Yep.
And so guess what? The truth happens when you treat people better and you do the sales process a lot better. Same thing with your deals. Don't send out 10,000 emails. I got 50,000 cash buyers. I don't care. How many buyers are actually on your cell phone right now you can call and they'll accept your call like this and they'll know who you are. It's all about sales, guys. That is how this business works. Guys, I have cash buyers I talk to on a daily basis, building relationships with. It's all about, so when I say treat your buyers like sellers, you'll go follow up with sellers every week or every other week, see how they're doing, see how their life is doing, things outside of it, just building that connection as a person. Y'all don't even know. I would be very shocked if you knew if your cash buyer was married or not. I'd actually be shocked. Most wholesalers don't know that.
Yeah.
Guess what? The spouse is usually someone's best friend or someone that's very important to them. and somebody that actually makes business decisions with them. And not even knowing that personal fact shows how much of a personal relationship you have. I bet y'all know if the seller's married or not, right? Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah, you got to.
But you don't know about cash buyers? How much of a relationship do you really have with your cash buyer? And that is the honest truth. You have to treat your buyers like your sellers, actually build a real relationship with them. And guess what? Why am I saying this? Why am I ranting about this? Because when it comes to you selling a deal and it's like, eh, it's an okay deal. And you know, there's 10 other wholesalers trying to send that deal to that buyer. Who's that cash buyer going to buy the deal from? The person that I actually know really well and actually like, or the person that just, here's the deal.
I don't know.
You're going to go to the person you know and trust, especially when times get tough.
Yeah.
Guys, that's why I'm telling you, follow up with your buyers. You don't have to follow up with them every week, like every month or something. But just, how you doing? How's the business going? Hey, I just saw, I know you, I sold that deal to you. How's that deal going with you? Or just so I have some feedback. Oh, you made 40 grand. Awesome. Yeah. Right. And it's a secret. And the last part about the salesmanship on cash buyers, which nobody talks about anymore. The honest truth is, this is a big secret, but your cash buyers actually should be making money. There's a weird part, but
guys, shocker.
This is a business. All right. So you got to think about it like this. If the sales experience sucks at a pizza place, you're never going back to that. You already know a pizza place in your local town you went to once. It sucked.
Can't screw right? up
like,
pizza.
It was terrible. You never went. But there's a pizza place where every single time someone gives it's the best pizza in the world, you always come back, right? I got a couple. Yeah. I got a nice barbecue joint I like that. But that's the same thing. So if you give a cash buyer a terrible deal, a terrible a pizza, they're not going to want to get pizza from your place ever again. Yeah. You might make less money by getting more quality pizza, but the customer comes back and buys more. And then they tell their friends about it. And you start selling more pizza. So it's better for in a restaurant to actually serve better food to make a little less money because they keep repeating the process.
Yeah, you got to have that base. So your cash buyer is your ultimate customer in wholesaling. So you like, what type of business... For the longest time, they preach like, don't worry about your cash buyers. Treat them like junk. You only need one. And I'm telling you, if I took that method from 2008 to 2012, I would have been completely out of wholesaling because they, you know who they bought deals from? People they liked and they trusted. And you have to earn the trust. The like is negotiable if you built the right amount of rapport. The bottom line is people like to do business with people they like and they trust. And if you're going to avoid both those things, you have to have such a tipped market where the demand is so high, which we've had over the last 7 years, that is definitely leveling off and it's going to keep changing every month going forward. So just take the time with the cash buyer. It doesn't mean give your deals away, guys. It's the opposite. It's like, hey, here's what we have. Here's what we do. Give them a timeline to make the decision and move on. No, they're not going to buy every deal. You want a cash buyer to buy every deal. But if they buy two or three in a year, that's perfect. That's the one you're looking for. And you got to put the time in for good quality cash buyers.
I agree 100%. So what's the last untapped thing? This is a secret of success, but create a strict schedule that matches your goals. So what do we always say? What is happiness? I've always found in my life and with, you know, my, you know, centuries of life experience, but what I have found in business and in the 7 years of wholesaling real estate in life and in business in general, that my happiness is correlated to my expectations minus reality. And what does that mean? When I started out wholesaling real estate, my ultimate goal is to make 100K just whenever. If I could make six figures, I'd be the happiest man in the world. I don't have to work a regular job. That's it. Where does reality become? Seven-figure wholesaler, millions of dollars every single year. My happiness is through the roof. If I started wholesaling, I was expecting to make $50 million a year and be the richest baller in the world, I would be super depressed right now. My life's not going the way it should be. Oh, this sucks. This is terrible. If you ever want to see this, think of athletes, all right? Athletes, yeah, they might lose the championship and they're super sad and depressed about it, but they're making $20 million a year. But their expectation was to win it all, and now they're not happy. And you're like, you're making $20 million a year. Why are you upset, right? It's all about expectations minus reality. And so if you as a wholesaler want to go out here and become successful and you have a reality and you want to make that expectation into your reality, you have to match your goals with your schedule. Guys, the amount of money you want has to this year that you want to make has to match the energy and output you would need to put in. Simple as that. If let's go back to pizza. If I want to make $500,000 this year in a pizza restaurant, I'm going to have to sell, 50,000 pizzas, whatever it comes out to, right? So if I go and make 10,000 pizzas, I'm never going to make that amount of money because I'm just not making enough pizzas to make the money. And if I'm not marketing enough, I'm never going to make the amount of money I want. So a lot of people, they want to make 100K a month, but they're doing 100K a year of marketing. And they're expecting to stretch it. And that's not how it works. So the best analogy, I know I'm the king of analogies today, but the best analogy I can tell you to really hammer this home through you is there's wholesalers out here that start out, they feel like they can drive from New York to Los Angeles on one tank of gas. That's what they do. They put a tank of gas of energy, of marketing, and they say, I'm going to drive from New York to LA. And they get stopped at like Pennsylvania and they're like, wholesaling sucks. This is the worst car in the world. The gas mileage is the worst. No, you're on one tank of gas and you expect to go 4,000 miles. Your expectations and your reality are not the same. Now, if you expect to get there in like 30 gas tanks, that's a lot more realistic. And so your expectations have to match your reality. So if you want to go out here and get your first deal this month, you're going to have to do things that work, the amount of marketing that usually gets you a deal in a month. So what is this? My personal opinion, I have found statistically about 500 reverse drawing for dollars leads will land you one deal. 100 a week for 5 weeks for a month, that usually lands you a deal. So if you want to do, let's say example, 10 deals this year, make 100K, you should have a schedule and create a schedule that allows you to take 5,000 sticky notes this year and throw them out. What's five? Let's say we can like just David Goggins it, what, do the math, right? I want to break the pull-up record. 5,000 reverse drawing for dollars leads, and let's say I'm 300 days, I'm going to put them out. That's 16, 17 a day, right? Boom. Or if I want to do it once a week, I can do 500 a week, right? Or less than that. But like, I'll do the math really quick. So if I want to only put them out once a week, 5,000 divided by 52, that's about 96 a week. Wait, 5,000. Yeah, about 96 a week. Simple, right? And so that's what you got to do. You have to match your marketing and your schedule to what your goals are. Probate mailers. If I want to get a deal, 500 probate mailers usually for a deal. How many deals you want this year? Multiply that 500 by that amount. But if you create a strict schedule, okay, I'm going to drive for dollars. I'm going to skip trace. I'm going to call. And you make a schedule and you stick to it consistently, you'll do well. It's very, very hard for people to not work out when they have a workout schedule and they make it a demand that they're going to do it. I know there's a lot of people out here that say, it's so hard waking up in the morning. I'm not a morning person. And if you made a schedule and said, I'm getting up at 6 a.m. every single day, or someone's going to pour cold water on my face, and I do it for you for 4 years straight, you will be a lot more happy to get up at 6 a.m. after those 4 years of consistently making that your schedule.
Yeah, you should get to the point where after you do it so long, the opposite happens. Like, I don't know about you, but like when I don't work out, I feel worse than when I actually work out, even though it's physically exhausting. I feel the same way when I don't spend money on marketing. Like if I don't spend money on marketing, I'm missing out on an opportunity to get like a 5, sometimes 8 times return on my money. So if I spend $5,000 on marketing, I can turn that easily into $40,000. But if I don't spend it, I'm not going to have the opportunity. When I started out, I'm like, oh my God, I got to spend $1,000 on marketing. This is very nerve wracking. I don't want to do it. Now I know it's an opportunity. And if I don't take advantage of the opportunity, so what you want to do is flip it. So you create that consistency in your habit. You actually feel bad when you don't do it. And that's how you have to get marketing and wholesaling. It has to be everything, especially in your first 90 days of wholesaling. You have to get in front of many people as possible. How do you do it? You have to be a master at marketing, meaning you have to put all your effort towards it.
Exactly. So guys, these are the 6 untapped ways to make an extra 5 deals a month in wholesaling real estate. I'm telling you right now, you want to get it, create that schedule, keep consistent, and most likely market more and give lower offers. So let's up the marketing and let's decrease these offers. And that's the secret to success, guys. Guys, if you want to learn more, just go to frilson.com. Our free real estate wholesaling course will help you become the best wholesaler possible. So guys, let's answer some questions. We want to do a quick, really cool announcement we have. We got it all lined up and everything, so we're excited to announce this. But we have our first Flip with Rick live event. That's it. And how do we roll with Flip with Rick? It's free. It's a free live event. We're going to do that. So we're pretty excited for that. And it's going to be announced. It's going to be, let me share. It's going to be October 19th through the 20th in Stuart, Florida. And so let's talk about a little bit about this. All right. So basically, this is a Flip with Rick Plus live event. So for everyone in Flip with Rick Plus, this is a free event we're doing. And so let's talk about a little bit about this, right? So this is going to be an event that is going to, I hate to say it, but it will cost us tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars to put this together. Staff, videographers, crews, all these things. I got to hire people to coordinate and decorate and all this crazy, stupid stuff. Audio equipment, stages, podiums, and like screen projectors and lighting equipment. Oh my gosh, don't even get me started. But October 19th through 20th, we're doing our first ever live event. It's invite only. So basically, if you're a Flipwork Plus member, you automatically get a free ticket to the event, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. All right. We might do some giveaways, let some people out, but this is going to be ran like a $7,000 ticket mastermind. That's how we're going to run it. Okay. Which means we're spending every money making this the best thing possible. There's no crazy speakers. I'm not speaking all the time on it. It's mostly going to be you and me doing this, right?
No pitching, just no pure pitching, instruction. And we have the ability when you guys get there is we can work with you before. We can work with you at the event because there's not going to be like 3,000 people. Everyone's trying to pitch and sell a product. Like we're going, our 2 days, I would tell you, is going to be more than probably three or four other events all put together.
So this is why the reason why we're talking about this is Rick had a dream. He had a dream once.
Had a dream last night.
We did this dream thing. And this was about 2 years ago we actually did this, where we contacted about 10 wholesalers that we know that are making seven figures. And we said, why don't we create a club, okay, of all the seven-figure wholesalers we know, and we have a free organic mastermind. We have an event. Everyone pays their fair share of it, and we all come in. There's no agenda. No one pitting them. There's no pitching. We talk about what's working, what's not working. Guess what? 8 out of 10 of them said, I can't do that. We need to speak. This goes against my coaching program, all these things. That's okay. A lot of these people are coaches. I don't blame them, but we didn't want it. But that was our dream. We wanted to have an event where everyone who came to that event didn't pay to go to the event. It's free. It's a free event. So there's no agenda. There's no selling. There's no pitching. There's no thing on there. Everyone kind of chips in some money to help pay for the event. But like everyone's fair game. There's no, we all drop $7,000. $7,000's not going to go cover the cost of an event. Guy, I'll tell you right now, if we got 300 people to drop $7,000 each, $2.1 million, it won't cost me $2.1 million to bring this event together, no, right? The gurus ridiculous. Usually keep the rest. I think it's pretty fair what we're doing, but we're probably going to lose money. Every event, we're probably going to lose money, but it's more of getting more JV deals for us. But it's a free event, and it's pretty cool. It's called Escape the Matrix, and basically Escape the 9-to-5 Matrix. So basically how it is, invite only. We're going to teach you how to get your first 100K in wholesaling real estate. It's going to be pretty cool. Go to fliplurkplus.com if you want to get more info on it. If you have a deal pending with us at sellmypaper.com, just wait and we'll get you access to it. But it's pretty exciting. So it's Fliplurk Plus Escape the Matrix live event, October 19th through the 20th. So if you want an opportunity to actually go out here and physically meet me and meet him, shake our hands, hug us, whatever you want for 2 straight days. So it'll probably be 9 to 5 through 2 days. And then we'll probably hang out at a restaurant or whatever for 3 or 4 hours after both days. Come to Stuart, Florida. See our operation, see everything. Go to Fliplurk Plus. There's no salesmanship. There's no call this. It's pretty simple.
No sales.
So if you want to go out there, go to Fliplurk Plus. It's awesome. Heck, most likely you'll make more money just joining it because we send all the JV deals that aren't in our market, we give to Fliplurk Plus members. So it's insane. But guys, just let everybody know, we've been bugged so hard about live events. We'll be doing it. And then also a big thing for you guys is we're recorded. So we'll recordings inside that event.
Yeah.
We're going to give to the people because I don't hide information. But it'll be pretty awesome. We're not going to live stream or anything, but it will be we'll record it, presentation stuff. Everyone on the YouTube channel can do it. So it's kind of a best of both worlds. But if you actually want to go for the networking, talking to us, getting your real questions asked in person, hanging out with us.
Yeah, guys, I haven't done a live event in like over 10 years. And the reason I stopped is I didn't join the coaching cult. Like, let's go around. Most of these things that you go to, it's just 2 days of endless speakers selling their products. And all you get is the hype and the pump, which is the expectation, which a lot of you get disappointed. We are just going to take the entire 8 hours every day and just dig. And the thing is, you got two guys that are just going to dig hard. And then we have some amazing people we've worked with that we do a lot of JV deals. And they do it out of the goodness of their heart. They're going to come in and help because a lot of them were in your position 6 months to a year ago. And they're going to show you how they went from zero and they implemented the things me and Zach taught. And we go forward. I don't have boat rides for you. I'm not going to take you to a high-end fancy restaurant. If you want to come and just get pure, authentic construction from wholesalers that actually do this business, I want to do deals with you. I want to train you to be a killer in the long run. And I have a large group of people I work with within Flip with Rick that send me deals on a regular basis. And it's my favorite thing to do is work deals on you. Listen, collecting coaching money, it's ridiculous. We're only doing this to Flip with Rick Plus students. And if you do a deal with us, it's free. We're the only guys in the industry that actually offer a free event. And it's not a pitch fest. I'm telling you, there is no pitch fest.
Think about it. If you send us a deal, you do a deal with us, this is free. It's crazy. So we're going to do two live events a year. We're going to see how this one goes. And the only reason why I'm probably after this event, I'm never going to talk about the live events. It's just going to be inside of Flip with Rick Plus.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm saying this right now is we're expecting, I mean, the capacity for the place we got is 500. I don't think we're ever, this is going to be the smallest event we're ever going to do in our history.
It's going to be wild. I think it's going to be amazing.
By next year, we should have a couple thousand people in Flipwork Plus versus where we're at now. And then you keep pumping up people in Flipwork Plus. Our events are going to have 1,000 people to 2, 3. And the amount of people going to the events are going to be so high. It's going to be hard for me to individually hang out with all y'all. But guess what? For a live event, hanging out with me with only maybe, let's say, 100 people, 200 people for 2 days straight, and it basically free for you to join, it's going to be unheard of. So that's why I'm letting everybody know. If you want to go talk, this is the best part. We're doing it locally in Stuart, Florida. It's probably the last time we're ever going to do it because this is actually the largest event venue where we live.
It's a small town, take advantage of it. And you're going to love the venue we have at it. It's spectacular.
We're not telling anyone the venue. We got to keep it secret for protection and privacy and stuff. But it's basically on the water. You go fishing outside of it. It's in the most expensive part of downtown where we're at. And it's we're paying a pretty penny for it. So go to FlipLurk Plus if you want to actually get details on it. The last question we have on this, and we'll start getting some questions, is what if I join in September? Do I get a ticket? So basically how that works is we're only have capacity of 500. And so we made a promise to everybody that joins FlipLurk Plus will have access to it. Right? We said that. Free ticket. Now, we're pushing a promise there. Now, we have emergency plans if we have to push it to 1,000. We do. But we'd rather do it to where we want to be. But basically, for everyone in October, August, September, October, everybody that's a Flipwork Plus member, until you sign up till August, you'll have guaranteed access to it. Now, if you just signed up, and you signed up the day before the event and you want to get access to it and then charge back your credit card, you're going to have the lowest tier like priority. All right. Yeah. So we'll talk about it. September, you should be able to, but we do need some headcounts for it. And we got to figure out what we're going to do. And then in 6 months, we're going to do another Flipwork Plus live event. And then the live events going forward are going to be one in Florida a year and then one ever in the country. So
we'll take a poll.
If y'all need me in Dallas, we'll be in Dallas.
I like Dallas.
I don't want to go to Phoenix, but we'll go to Phoenix if we have to. California, Vegas, wherever it is, we'll start doing it. And so I'm excited. So guys, FlipLurk Plus, it's in there. But remember, if you actually want to go out here and go to the event in October for free, go to freewholesaling.com, get that knowledge up, get a couple deals, maybe send us a deal, or just help cover the cost of Flipwork Plus by doing all the deals you're doing.
Yeah.
And then go hop on and talk to us. That is how you do it. So I'm excited. I'm ready to go for it, guys. Live event's going to be awesome. We're going to cut up a lot of cool videos in that event for you guys. So we're going to have all the info out for you guys. So I'm pretty excited for it. So let's answer some questions here and help you guys out. And shout out to Aldolfo Garcia says, just closed my first deal last week, which was a seller finance deal.
That's cool.
Awesome. Love to see it. Shout out to Aldolfo there. Jason had another question. He said, can being nice be misinterpreted as not being confident? So not at all, but it depends how nice you are. Some people are so nice that they seem soft when they're nice. Now, I'm not saying that's Jason, but think of the way that I'm nice versus the way that you're nice. I'm a lot different than you when it comes to sales. We're very similar in a lot of ways, but we're also different in a lot of ways too.
That's crazy because it's the same DNA, but it's yeah, you're right.
So I am, when I do sales and talking to sellers, you guys know from my cold calling, I am very straight to the point. There's no fluff. Like there's no fluff, but I'm nice about it. Hey, I'm looking to buy some house. How long you had this house for? Oh my gosh, crazy. Is that a dog? That's nuts. So, and then I get back into the point. So the way I'm nice, but I'm very nice to the point. Your version of being nice is by talking a little more, getting a kind of away from real estate, but still being very confident in what you're saying. And just there's different sales tactics, but they're both work.
My dagger's further down the road.
Yeah.
But like, here's my theory. Like there's no wrong way to do it. You have to build rapport no matter which way you do it. But I'm so confident I'll build so much rapport that when I strike, I'm going to have a very high closing ratio. And it's whatever your confidence builds, and you'll find it over time. In the beginning, you just have to move forward and qualify and make offers. The worst thing you do is be scared and never make an offer. So the problem is if you are a super nice person, which that, in my opinion, is a superpower, you have to find a way to get amazing conversations going, but you have to be confident enough to go for the close. Because here's what most nice people do. They never close. They're just always, you're spending so much time in a report. And after a certain amount of time, you lose credibility because they're like, you're too nice. You're not even going to be able to buy my house because you're never getting to the point. And I had experienced that firsthand when I first did it. So I was too aggressive when I started. Then I was too soft, but I found my rhythm. And you know how I found it? It's just experience and going through the journey of wholesaling. Because after a while, you can't close people. You got to figure it out. And if you don't make changes, you won't last in wholesaling. So as long as you can get to the point and build amazing rapport through a conversation, you'll achieve it. Some people a little bit more direct. He's a little bit more slick how he slides it in it. I take more time. We constantly fight and bicker on how we do it. And sometimes we size up our really hard sellers. Sometimes on commercial properties, they go, dude, this guy's long-winded. You're a much better fit. Or this realtor is driving me nuts. You need to just get straight to the point with her. And that's how we kind of do it. Remember, whatever your strength that God gave you is, you got to find a way to accent it, but still get the business of wholesaling done.
Exactly. So I would call it a superpower. So what we're going to do is do some one-on-one calls. So if you want to hop on, talk to us one-on-one. I always get, how do I hop on the one-on-ones? Always. I always get that, right? All you have to do is join our Facebook group, Wholesaling Houses For Real, and you can hop on. So it's called Wholesaling Houses For Realtor Facebook group. It's also a YouTube channel, FYI. So all of our clips on the calls we do, we give that out. It's called Wholesaling Houses For Real. And when you go to Wholesaling Houses For Real, guess what? You're gonna be in here. You're going to be part of 102,600 people. Crazy amount. You're going to click here. We pin it right here. And you click the StreamYard link. Boom. You'll be on here to talk to us absolutely for free, one-on-one. So you can hop on. You can talk to us. And we'll help you out. So first and foremost, we got Hector. What is up, bro?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, man?
I'm blessed. How can I help you out today?
Hey, thank you guys for taking the time to talk to me. That's awesome, man. I've been watching you guys for 13, 14 months now, dude. This has been great stuff. I'm serious, man. This has been great stuff. I've seen a lot of the people I've been trying to put on, like, oh, you got to watch these guys. You got to watch these guys. And they've come and go. Hey, you know, they've come and go, but but we're here. You know what I mean? We're here.
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, I just real quick. I just had a deal, not really fall through. I kind of got saved by it. They wanted, you know, 171K on it. we kind of took the number because the ARV was, you know, 300,000. For what I saw was about a 35,000 in repair. So my buyers kind of liked it, you know, it was a good, you know, kind of good for everyone. So when I was about to write it up, she was like, oh, I want to do a week. Can you close in a week? I'm like, okay, before we put the pen to the paper, I want to reverse engineer this. I want to talk to some people. Give me a day or two. I get the day or two. That's fine. The next morning I talked to a buyer and he's like, yeah, I'm your guy. You know, and I have a bit of a relationship with him. We joke around a little bit here and there, you know, nothing too crazy, but, he actually goes to the property and, he sees, you know, certain things that I just didn't see. Well, it came down to, they had a bunch of materials in the home. She was a flipper. She was just a, you know, kind of tired landlord kind of situation. She's coming back and forth from Houston to Kansas City. And, you know, she was kind of, I was kind of helping her out with that. Hey, I'll take it off her hands. Let's get this headache out of here. You know, they were actually hiding problem areas from me with the materials in the home. So the materials, like the boxes, you know, AC units and toilets and whatever, paint tubs and whatever, hiding actual problem areas with those components. Oh, so yeah. My buyer, you know, he's a big dog. So he goes down, he moves the boxes. He goes in there and takes that stuff out. And he actually sees it. He's like, oh, whoa, whoa. You know, we're actually not at 35, 45, 55. Yeah. You know, we're actually at 80 now. You know, and I was really blessed by that because I would have been stuck in the contract, you know, then try to scramble to get out, do a mutual release and, you know, all that extra stuff that I don't want to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I was really blessed in that situation. And that just happened yesterday. I mean, that was literally just yesterday. Yeah, it was just yesterday. How would I prevent going on that, you know, sell actually hiding information from me, you know, that I'm here to help, you know, just like you guys said, you're here to help. And we're in a situation to help, you know. How do you get around that?
Just let you know, it happens all the time. Yeah. People just like lie. And I will always give them the benefit of the doubt, but like you always, once you get stuff under contract, you got to be, I'm not going to use the word difficult, but like I'm always suspect. When I see somebody rehabbing a house and they stop and all the materials are in there, there's a reason. Like you got to like, okay, why would they stop? They stop because they have a bigger problem. They've ran out of money and it ain't going to work out for them. Remember, they're probably going to buy it cheaper than you bought it. So everyone I see like that, I've learned, unfortunately, through experience that I just assume they're hiding something. Think about it. Why wouldn't they just finish it? It was another 30, 40 grand to finish it. Why wouldn't they just finish it and harvest the profit? So I always look at the story. I listen to the story. And then you have to visually look and you got to figure it out. Now, is this the first time you dealt with like this situation, a rehabber that ran dry on a deal?
No, this isn't. No, this is not the first situation where I've run into someone, hey, you know, and they're pretty upfront. Hey, I've ran out of money. You know, this is where I'm at. We're about 80%. And, you know, I'm looking to just go ahead and just cut where I'm at and get what I can. You know, I've ran into that before. But this one,
I've had people do this to me before. And unfortunately, it just takes experience over time. What I used to do in the beginning is when I had very questionable houses, whenever another wholesaler was involved or a fix and flip, which they used to drive me crazy. Why would a fix and flip guy stop? Is I would just drag a contractor. I'd take him out to lunch and then I would try to get him hired for the job, whoever I sold the property to. And they always, because they'd go through and rip stuff. I was scared you were going to tell me that you didn't write the contract. You found a cash buyer. He went out there and tried to steal the deal behind your back. So I'm glad that didn't happen. But
No.
Whenever you see a rehabber that's quit, like find out the story and poke as many holes in it as you humanly possibly can. Here's another way you can snuff out someone like that. Although you never really have to do it. You heard of this thing like when people sell stuff on MLS, you have to give a disclosure statement on it. It scares the heck out of people. They don't want to put something in writing. So like I can't give a disclosure on a wholesaling property because I haven't lived there. I don't even own the property, But if they took title to help me go, hey, listen, can you just fill out this disclosure agree? Like, I just need to know if there's anything I need to know in the house. And most of them will decline it because it makes them very nervous. The other thing is having a contractor walk through the property, especially on something that's questionable. And now that you have this great relationship with this new buyer, he's a perfect type of person to help you out, because if he's going to be loyal to you and not go behind your back, why not have him drag him through? Because he's going to want a first shot at either buying the property or working with someone to fix it up. But this won't be the last time it ever happens to you. And when I see piles of stuff, it's bad. By the way, guys, when you have regular houses, when you have big, giant area rugs, move it. It's there for a reason.
Yeah.
Everyone, it's decorative. And once you start moving it, you look at their eyes, they're like, oh, God, he's going to find it.
No, yeah. And
some of my first
go ahead.
A hole in the wall situation. It's actually very common. I always move the couch. There's always a hole under beds, couches, usually not boxes, but beds and couches, they put strategically. One big thing I can tell you before appointments I've always seen is, you know, those big like armoires, like those big fat like wooden things that are heavy.
Don't lift it.
Look underneath it. Take a flashlight. Look behind it. You'll be shocked.
It's amazing. But the main thing is, if you do wholesaling right, like you'll learn, you'll get better at it over time. But if you buy at a deep enough discount, like you can usually recover. So we had one deal, I swear, like we had this huge run in Florida on Chinese drywall. Chinese drywall. So we had a house, got a massive discount on it. And then so we went to sell it, and they brought an inspector in because we were wholesaling it. They go, I think this has Chinese drywall. I'm like, why? But the guy was a heavy smoker. And I learned recently that smoke oxidizes copper. And so it has the same signs as Chinese drywall. They're telling me, listen, you need $50,000 in repair. I'm just like, I remember looking at Zach going, do we have 50 grand a deal? He goes, oh yeah. He goes, we got a lot more. Long story short, we hired someone to go in and cut two holes in the drywall and certify for like $300. It wasn't Chinese drywall. But the thing is, we still had a $50,000 buffer. We still would have made 15, 20 grand, even if it had Chinese drywall. And I remember him because I believe we were on like a family outing at the time. I just look, he goes, are we in trouble? I'm like, no, we're fine. We'll still make money, even if it has Chinese drywall. The problem is when people contract properties and you have tiny little margins and then big problems come up, you're in big, big trouble. So always get the biggest spread you can with like the going for no. And just when you see stacks of boxes and stuff, it's usually hiding something, because if they want to cut real quick, that's typically what they're doing. What's your experience with it?
No, that's it. And just understand, I have wholesale deals with no roof on the prop. Like, there's no roof. I don't care. I wholesale crack homes all the time. Why do I call it crack home? Because there's crack in the house. It's why I call it a crack house. It's not a bad term, but literally, I don't care. We've wholesaled Chinese drywall homes. As long as I know that, I'll get a Chinese drywall price. What we do is we flip properties. It doesn't mean it's not worth as much. It's just if it's in worse condition, I get a better price. It's wholesaling is not about how nice the house is. It's about how much we get it under. It's how much we can buy it for, basically the price to buy it versus what it's worth. It doesn't matter. There's people out here that make millions of dollars flipping like sneakers.
Yeah.
And like, oh, but I flip boats. That makes me better than you. No, it doesn't matter what you flip. It's how much of a discount on the item you get. And so that's what it's all about.
Yeah, no, he'll laugh, but I got into a deal where I flipped like a high-end boat and I got a great deal on it. It actually came from real estate, but we found like a $40,000 problem. I'm just like sitting there scratching my head. And the mechanic's like, you're in trouble. I'm like, how much did I buy it for? I'm like, yeah, I could afford that. Like, I wasn't happy, but I could afford it. Are you doing this local, Hector?
I am. I actually, I want to tell you something. I actually, where I'm at in Missouri, that's my market. I actually introduced wholesaling to my title company, to my town, and the next correlating town beside me. When I started, like very, very beginning, they were like, no, there is no type of deal where we can just hold the money in an open escrow and then you just come in and da da da. I'm like, well, hold on. Wait a second. I think there is. So I had to introduce the title company and actually coach them and walk them through this process. So that let me know I'm in the right place at the right time. There's no one else doing it out here.
Yeah. There's thousands of deals being done in Kansas City, Missouri. So like, yes, it can be done there. It can be done where you're at. Same state, same laws, same everything. Springfield, St. Louis, dude, simple, man.
I'm only 30 minutes away from Kansas City and I'm about 2 hours away from Springfield. And I've gone both places. Perfect. I've checked both places. I've actually built up a really good relationship with the other college town beside me. That's where my main true focus is at. With the code enforcement department out there, and they have been feeding me leads. Thanks to you guys, I know how to proceed and talk to them with the county assessor's office, and I've built up a relationship with them as well. And now they're giving me the code violations. Hey, you know, how you doing, Hector? Hey, we got a problem area over here. Here's the address. Here's the phone number. And I don't even have to skip trace them sometimes because now we've built that connection. Hey, you know, Jane, you got anything for me today? You know, and she'll, you know, oh, hey, Clifford, you got anything for me? You know, it's just one of the things that, you know, it really is amazing. It's really amazing when you go out there and talk to people what you can build. It really is. Yeah. So thank you guys. Thank you guys. I appreciate everything you guys do. Really.
Okay, man. Keep it up, man. I appreciate it, Hector.
Boom.
That's awesome.
Have a good one, man. Any other questions?
Yeah. Real quick. Is there, so I tried jumping on the JV deals at the free wholesaling, you know, free wholesaling houses for real and all that. I tried doing that, but the form in there, you know, you only got from my state, you only have up to like Kansas City, I think even Springfield on there possibly. I didn't know if I could submit anything that I get out in my area.
Yes. So you can submit it. There's a section on the bottom to send the deals to Flipwork plus students. And so basically what we have is you can literally go out here and send the deals and it goes to a spreadsheet. You don't give the address. You just say, hey, I have a deal in Kansas, whatever city I'm at. Here's my phone number. And you'll probably have four or five Flipwork plus members call you. It's your job to interview them and see, okay, is this guy or gal confident they can sell my deal and do they actually have buyers? Just because they're Flipwork Plus students doesn't mean I automatically vet them. Okay.
Sure.
I just give them access. So I want everybody inside of Flipwork Plus to make tens of thousands a month JVing. And so you still got to interview them. It's your responsibility to make sure it's good. I'm just putting a foot in the door. And so you might get calls from John from the Bronx who wants to JV with you and he's got no buyers, but he's inside of Flipwork Plus. No. Okay. Like, but you might get a guy in Kansas City or a gal that's done a lot of deals. For example, I know some people that are inside Flipwork Plus that do Kansas City. Probably be great for it. So yeah.
Yeah. We're always working on that list. Like every day we go forward, we find new quality buyers. And then the idea is with the Flipwork Plus, we try to match people up of, you know, complementary skill sets. Cause it just works out really well that way.
Okay. Yeah. So. I want to tell you where it's at, but at the same time, I'm kind of in a honey hole, man.
Nah, you don't. You're fine, dude.
Just be quiet.
Rick gets it, man. He's like, no, shut up.
Dude, run. All I can tell you to do is run hard and fast, Hector, but focus on a marathon run. Don't be a sprinter. Sometimes you got to pull back a little bit to get further ahead in the race because it's everybody wants to compare themselves to everybody else on the internet. It's just not good to do that. It just a marathon runner tries to beat their personal best every day. Sure. Because if you try to run a race on the guy next to you and they're sprinting and they got no shoes or socks on, they ain't going to make it. And I'm telling you, I've been here 21 years because I was never the fastest wholesaler. I was the most consistent. I played the long game. So run like crazy, but have the marathon goal in mind. Because, I mean, you're going to own your town and all the other towns around you because they're going to like, how did you do all this? And you're like, hey, I started this little thing wholesaling a long time ago. Rick and Zach showed it to me. And I ran. A lot of people think, here's the crazy part is, every generation thinks they have it harder than every other one. So my father's generation tells me all the time. I remember my grandparents used to tell it. He tells it to me. So eventually he'll have kids. Dude, life always moves on. It doesn't matter. And I just find it so hard. I was like, it's so hard. I go, it's not. I thought it was hard in 2003. I didn't know the gift I had in front of me, but I didn't have any training or skill sets. So people like, would you rather have infinite supply and no training, or the most precise training and a lot lower supply? It's a give and take no matter which way you go. It's not easy either way you do it. So I love with what you're doing. Just keep going and think marathon and keep sprinting as long as you can. But at some point, get some nice running shoes and keep going. Because in the beginning, I teach you guys, get deals. Don't spend a lot of money. Learn how to work with sellers. Figure out all the problems. And then when you want to start investing in your business towards getting automated leads, you know, mail and all the other things, that's how you win the marathon in the long run. So the sprint will start you. Don't be the guy who dies off from the sprint race, because there's more sprinters than there are marathon runners in wholesaling.
I agree.
Sure.
You got it, man.
Yeah. Pleasure to meet you,
Hector. Pleasure to meet you.
Hey, thank you, guys. Pleasure to meet you all.
Thank you.
Awesome. Boom. Love to see it. Adam.
What's up, guys? How are you guys today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Fantastic. The last time I checked in, Zach was alone. So basically what I just wanted to talk about today was, last time I did check in with Zach, he gave me a little formula for me to do and try with my own market. He told me to go, you know, 50% local, 50% virtual. So I started virtual. At first I was a little skeptical about getting on the phone with people, you know, that whole process of talking to sellers. After a while, I guess, you know, my biggest fear was my hidden attribute. So now building rapport is easy for me. You know, I'm just on the phone getting conversations out of these people, you know, connecting with them on a relationship level for them to go ahead and do business with me. As of right now, I'm not seeing any results, but I am putting a lot of time into this. I'm talking about from when I wake up to when I go to sleep.
Adam.
Yes,
tell me your marketing of the last week.
All right. Last week I did.
Actually, let's make it simpler. What's your, how many contacts did you make last week?
Over 100.
Okay. Here's the most important KPI. How many offers did you make the past 7 days?
I put in at least 7 offers in the past.
7 offers.
Yeah.
And no accepted?
Not yet. No.
So you're 0 out of 7 for offers.
Yes, sir.
That's very low.
Yeah. That's low.
That's very low. These are conditioned sellers, right?
Yeah.
That you went on the appointment on.
Yep.
And they 7 said no.
Yeah. So
I've never gone 0 for 7 ever.
I mean, like as far as offers, like I would send them the contracts. I would get a discount, but the discount wouldn't be too much.
Adam, you're sending the contract or you made an offer in front of the seller? What are we talking about here?
Well, I mean, I get it on the phone, the offers. Like somebody will tell me their property is listed for 215, and then, you know, they'll say 150. I'll come back at 105, and then be like, I won't take a penny.
These are FSBO offers?
Yeah.
That's different, man. I'm talking about outside of FSBOs, like actual offers from conditioned sellers. The FSBO offers are not conditioned. I'm talking about conditioned sellers. How many offers you make?
Now I've just been doing FSBOs, honestly.
So have I ever told you to only do FSBOs?
No, but it was on the agenda that you told me. Yeah.
It was part of the agenda.
Yeah.
I never told you exclusively only do FSBOs.
I mean, yeah.
Are you doing this virtually or local?
Yeah, I'm doing virtual.
So when you're doing virtual, give me the game plan. What was the game plan I gave you? Tell me what it was.
Was 100 pre-foreclosure, 100 tax delinquent, 100 code violation, and then 100 ugly houses.
Okay. Which one of these said FSBO on them? Was FSBO the fifth one?
I mean, you told me to target New Jersey and Hudson Valley area. That was like, you know, the area that the markets that are closer to me.
Okay. But you just gave me 4 lists. Was FSBO's the fifth list?
Yeah.
Okay. So I gave you 5 lists and you're only doing 1 list. What do you think the problem is?
The other 4 lists.
So why haven't you been doing the 4 lists?
Well, I just wanted to focus into 1 list. Maybe, you know, getting through all of it, but yeah, I get it.
You need more quantity. Like
it's not quantity. It's the wrong list. So
FSBOs are the toughest.
Here's the funniest part. You know, I think divine intervention comes in. I'm going to pull up a slide we had today for our live. Number 1, I said focus on the right lists. Not one FSBO's mentioned on there. Now, FSBOs are fine, but not exclusively FSBOs. And so you got to do the other four, man.
Yep.
Yeah, FSBOs, they work and they're convenient up front, but you need incredible volume. Like with FSBOs, it just, because most people, like, they're kind of stuck on their price, and the only thing that's going to fix them is time and circumstance. And that's the challenging part. They're going to use you as your last ditch effort, and you will actually have to have perfect timing, which is really hard to do with FSBOs. I'm not saying it doesn't work. Some people can only do FSBOs. That's all they can do. But these FSBOs, MLS, all these stuff, they're considered on-market properties. And the only way to even deal with it, if that's the only method, you have to have a massive volume amount. There's just, because you got to find someone that's given up, that said, I can do it. I don't need a realtor. I don't need a wholesaler. I don't need anything. And then they just give up. Now, they usually have to have something wrong with the property. The market has to be brutal to them. And then you have to hit them with perfect timing. It's hard. So when it gets down to the roots of things, so I taught them the basics of wholesaling. In my perfect world, if you only got this one statement, is deal with off-market properties with the most motivated list you can possibly get. Those two things will give you a higher quality of leads. You're still going to have to make the calls and do everything. But when you do on-market properties, you almost have to 10x your volume to make up for it, because it's much easier to get the data, but they have less motivation. And you're going to have to find someone that gives up. And they do. But you have to go through thousands and thousands and thousands of leads just to get a few deals. And some people don't want to do that, and I get it. So I think he showed you a perfect mix of like five markets. FSBOs, no, but they're five lists, and you just kind of keep.
So basically what we're trying to say is, so I gave you five lists. List one's not working, so let's do the other four.
Gotcha.
All right. 100%.
And as far as one more thing, sorry. As far as offers goes, we're targeting to get these like 65 to 75% off, like the listed price, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm just making sure, because...
But it doesn't matter because we're not doing FSBOs anymore.
I mean, yeah, so I'm throwing in the offers when I'm talking to these people. So when
we're not doing FSBOs, bro. We're going to do these four, all right?
All right, cool.
We've made it very clear that it's not working, so we're going to do the other four, all right?
All right, I appreciate it, man.
All right,
okay. Keep it up. See you, Adam.
Boom. Have a good one, Adam. All right, next we got Halftime?
Yeah. Hey, Rick. Hey, Zach. How y'all doing?
Is what's going on, man? Name?
Is it Halftime?
Or yeah, Halftime. Halftime.
That's your name?
That's
cool.
That's my business.
You name me Halftime. That's a cool name.
I had some really good names, but I got declined on it. So.
All right, Halftime. What's up? How can I help you out?
Hey, thanks for taking out the time to work with everybody today and answer people's questions. But basically, I'm working on my first wholesale deal, and I have a property under contract. And a realtor approached me, and I thought he was a cash buyer, but he turned out to be a realtor, and he wanted to list the property on the MLS and listed everywhere else for his 8.5%. So I was hesitant. And
wow.
I ended up letting him, because like my deal was my contract was about to expire. So now he has a property listed with the MLS and everywhere else. And I had a buyer come, I had a cash buyer come to me from my post on Facebook. Now, am I allowed to sell the property to him, even though I have it listed with the listing agent?
Okay. So I got to back the truck up here a little bit, because.
Okay.
Where did you get this idea to list a wholesale property with a realtor on MLS for 8.5%?
Okay, so I remember just seeing a video somewhere on YouTube saying...
Not from us. No, tell you that.
I would
Here's
never...
Here's the thing, man. There's laws against brokering real estate without a license. And there's been some debate if I can go list my equitable interest on the MLS, but... Really, every single government body and law I've read on wholesaling never allows that. Same thing I talk about novations. Novations legally should never be allowed, because you should be a fiduciary when you take a power of attorney, usually. And that goes against what it is. So I don't agree with that.
So listen, don't ever do this strategy again, because it's the complete opposite of what we teach. So
yeah.
Let's deal with what you got now. How long ago did you sign the listing agreement?
I signed it last Monday.
How long?
And how long is it for?
It ends on Saturday night at 11:59 p.m.
That's not bad,
dude. Here's what I do. I would sit down with the realtor and just be brutally honest. Go, listen, I think I made a mistake. I listed a property. I don't technically.
Well, let it go out on Saturday. He doesn't have to accept it. I don't even know how this even works because you're not the seller.
I know. I mean,
I don't know how this works.
So just to let you know, he has an illegal listing because you're not authorized on, because you don't technically own the property. And there's
what
all.
What does your listing agreement say to say you're the seller? Like, yeah. I don't even know.
Like,
there's a box checked on the listing agreement that says seller does not own property yet.
Wow. Yeah. You can write whatever you want in these things. I'm just telling you, the law is a little different. If
give me your suggestion.
As someone that's done over 2,000 deals and 5,000 deals combined, nice. If I could find a way to list my deals.
And we tried for a long time. We couldn't, we just can't do it.
But we legally thought how to do it. We would have done it.
It's complicated.
Now, could I find a realtor to do it for me? Yes, I can. Do I want to get sued or get any legal action or mess up any of the brokerages we own? No. And do I want to get any legal trouble? No. I want to make sure everything's as clean and cut possible in wholesaling. So I don't do that. You're incurring unnecessary risk by doing that. And we wholesale deals, man. On the MLS, these are end buyers. I ain't dealing with end buyers. It's a different business.
So your listing expires Saturday. When's your contract expire?
I actually just got a. I just added an addendum, so it doesn't expire until July 20th.
So get out of it Saturday, find a cash buyer.
Yeah, and don't ever do that. Yeah, don't do that again because your hands are really tied, and it'll usually blow up against you. And a lot of sellers aren't down with that because if you look at it from the outside perspective, it looks like you put a property under contract, and then you're trying to get full retail with a realtor involved. That's what really gives our entire industry like a real black eye. And so unless you just close it to the seller, you could be at massive risk. The realtor can be at risk and their broker can be at massive risk. So honestly, if it's 1 week, I would just let it expire. Hopefully they're not going to market the crap out of it. Hopefully they don't put it like on MLS to make it public. Or you can do the proactive way and just have an honest discussion with them. Go, listen, this isn't going to work out. If you find a buyer by Saturday, that's great. If not, I'm not renewing. We're going to move forward. So it is what it is. Just don't do that again. It's not a good situation.
Okay. So I appreciate it. And that cash buyer that contacted me today, am I able to you said wait it out?
Don't sign it till after Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, signed it at 12:01 a.m. because that realtor's.
All right. Just do it all. Sign it all Monday. All right, man.
Yeah, thank you. I had a feeling I made a mistake signing that.
It's okay. So just fix it and go forward. But just be careful with the relationship with that realtor because you don't want them running you under the bus. Because that is a male or female realtor?
It's a male.
Yeah, they quickly churn on you quickly when you end those agreements. Like,
okay,
so just do that, man. One last question. So if your dad seems full time, you're half time. Is your kid's gonna be part time, right?
Should be part time. I like that, man. I love Deion Sanders prime time, man. I'm like, that guy prime has time. Monetized it. He has prime monetized time. It, man.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
All right,
talking about prime time,
and you'll be fine. All right, man.
Appreciate it, guys.
Okay, man. See you.
I'm 99% sure.
Dude. That's like a book story. There, like,
so I've seen it happen though. I'm 99% sure his name's not.
And the thing is, they hold like they're trying to like. Oh, we need to get a real estate license so we can clean this business up. And then they list anything. Dude, you got a pulse. They will list anything. Yeah. They'll list your children on the MLS if you let them.
So, guys, go out here. Go to freewholesaling.com. Go to Flipwork Plus for the details on the event. Crazy. I hope to see everyone there. And we'll be back on Tuesday. So, appreciate you guys. Hit that like button. Subscribe. I'll be back Sunday night. Second channel.
I'll be back Monday.
And 10 p.m. and then 5 p.m. Monday on his. So, appreciate you guys. Hit that like button, subscribe. We'll see you guys soon.
See you guys.
Bye.